Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? This is Dr. Chris Featherstone here for the Pancakes and Power Slam Show, episode 582. We are here with the crew live. We got a bunch of questions ready for the podcast here from the live crew on the broadcast right now. Live for those who are listening on the podcast, this is 582. And if you are listening on the podcast, great, thank you. But also hop on the live podcast, the live broadcast that we do on the Pancakes and Power Slams Show YouTube channel. If you want to be a part of the question asking crew, the PNP Nation asks live questions every single week for you people who are listening to this right now, archived on the podcast for your listening ears. We're actually live right now on the podcast as well. But as far as asking the questions, we are live on the Pancakes and Power Slams YouTube channel. So without further ado, let's get into these questions. We're going to Rorito asking, what wrestlers from the Attitude Era would you form a stable with if you were their manager, and what would you name the stable? Ooh! Okay. I love these questions, man. Critical thinking questions at midnight Eastern time, just about. And okay. So wrestlers from the Attitude Era forced them up with, okay. How many wrestlers? So I'll just pick a number. Four wrestlers from the Attitude Era. I would choose Austin, Rock, Undertaker, and Austin, Rock, Undertaker, and I would have put Test in there too, actually. The late Andrew Martin Test. I would have put him in there. So for people who are still living, well, all of them retired anyway, so but for living wrestlers, I would do Austin, Rock, Taker, and I imagine, I'm torn between Foley and Triple H, but I'll do Triple H. I would call them the Empire. There you go, the Empire. That would be it would be something spawned by the corporation, and it would be a much better version of the union. So like, because the union was horrible. I actually liked them back then. I liked it, the concept was, they tried, you know, but it felt so, you know, second rate, the union did. So the union was a bunch of corporate rejects. So I wouldn't. So that's completely off the cuff. Those wrestlers called them the Empire. Also asking, what four father, son, daughter duos are your favorite all time? Man, okay. So father, son, or daughter duos. I don't really have favorites of all time, father-son duos. I'll just say four that automatically comes to my mind. That comes to my mind the quickest. The first one is the Hennigs, Larry and Kurt. The Johnsons. Rocky Johnson and Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. I would say Dusty and Dustin. And Let's go Mike Rotunda and Bray Wyatt. Those are just the four. Those are, you know, I'm sure I can think of more and better ones perhaps, but those are the four that just automatically comes to mind. Who comes to mind first, I should say. Do you see WWE putting wrestlers fight against UFC fighters in their major pay-per-views from now on since they merged? No, I don't see it. I'd imagine some promotion, but not like a common fighting thing. I can see Conor McGregor getting into the WWE side. I can even see perhaps Amanda Nunes getting to the WWE side. Maybe Holly Holm would be interesting because Holly Holm and Ronda Rousey would be interesting because Holly Holm is kind of like the Buster Douglas of USC females. You know what I mean? Made that big, huge, you know, defeat against Ronda Rousey and won some, lost some, not having the best record as a UFC fighter post Ronda beating Ronda Rousey, but that's definitely her claim to fame is beating Ronda Rousey. So I think that bringing Holly Holm in to the WWE as a competitor would be interesting. I think that would be interesting because I think that would give her an opportunity to revive her career because her UFC career isn't the best right now. Matter of fact, I think she lost a couple straight. She's not doing very well in UFC. Let me see. She's lost six. She's lost six matches. So let's see hers. I think she lost the last match. She won against Giannis Santos. Okay, yeah, she did win that one by decision. That was a couple of months ago. But I was thinking the one Vieira against Ketlin Vieira. She lost by decision. That was May of last year. That was the one that I remember she lost. She won a couple before that, then lost to Nunez before that, lost to Chris Cyborg. I do remember that too. So, I mean, she lost three in a row after Ronda Rousey. So, like I said, her career, her UFC career post-Rousey, because she was undefeated. She was undefeated before Ronda Rousey when she beat Ronda Rousey in 2015. She was undefeated before then. Beating Rousey made her 10-0. And then post-Rousey, her UFC record is 6-5. So, I'm sorry, 5-6. She's won 5, lost 6. So, all of her 6 losses were post Ronda Rousey, and she's been 5-6 since Ronda Rousey. So, like I said, she's basically the Buster Douglas of women's MMA fighting, not doing too hot. I feel Shinsuke. I like Holly Holm. I like what she stands for, actually, but not doing the best. Post Rousey, so bringing her to WWE would be a good idea. Do you feel? Let's see. I feel Shinsuke has been misused by WWE, and he needs to go back to his country where they will value his in-ring work at the more. And we saw that Ruito with his matches. You know, he teamed with Muda, and he beat Muda. So we saw a really, really good career revival earlier this year with Shinsuke. Gave him some time away, you know, to allow us to kind of regroup as far as our perception towards him. Because before he left, he was being booked so terribly. So what they do is they bring him back and they book him terribly again. So it makes me wonder. It makes me wonder if WWE is being petty and causing this to occur because of Shinsuke being one of the hottest names in wrestling at the beginning of the year. with his, you know, matches with and against Kijimoto. So it makes me wonder if WWE is humbling Shinsuke in that regard, which I think, once again, just like I do, this is like I say each and every time, it's petty, it's ridiculous, and it's horrible business. Like, it's just horrible business. Do you feel WWE dropped the ball and not continue the Uncle Howdy angle? Rito's asking. No. I wouldn't have been opposed to Lashley going against Uncle Howdy and just destroying Uncle Howdy. That would be a good way to write Uncle Howdy off, honestly, because you could have easily cut a promo with Howdy explaining why, you know, Bray is no longer around. He's basically taking care of his inner demons, such and such and so forth. You could have easily done that. And then that would have led Lashley to turn his attention over to Uncle Howdy. So, and then, you know, he would have just absolutely destroyed Uncle Howdy, and that would have been a way to write Uncle Howdy off. So I think that should have happened at WrestleMania. I think they dropped the ball by not having that happen at WrestleMania, because guess what? The consolation prize for just dismissing and just treating Lashley dirty was giving him some pointless Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal trophy, which he's just going to, you know, perhaps, defend and confiscate next year when he goes against it. So, interesting enough, Ken Anderson. Let's see. I'm responding to Ken Anderson. So his class ran late tonight. All right. let's see, Rorito. Do you think the Street Profits would be good heels, or should they stay face? Let's see here. I'm responding to Ken. Let's see. All right. I'm texting back and forth with Ken Anderson right now, actually. Let's see. I'm responding to him right now. All right. Texting back and forth with Ken Anderson right now. He texts me back. He was supposed to be on Unscripted tonight, and he said his class ran late, and he feels super bad. He keeps saying, I'm so sorry. So he's asking me if he can be on next week, and I'm booked next week. So I told him, so he's about to text me back. All right. Don't think the Street Profits would be good heels, or should they stay face? They were heels before. I'm not buying them being heels. I think that would significantly stifle the momentum or potential momentum of Montez Ford. I think he should be a top baby face right now. I think that he should eventually be a top baby face in the WWE. And I stand by it. I mean, here's my thing, man. Look, stuff like this, I am totally fine. I'm totally happy with my role as a doctor, as a therapist. I'm super duper happy about that. I would prefer that than wrestling, actually, just because of the headache and all the, you know, I'm just not that guy. I wouldn't put everything in the WWE because, you know, I've I've got a family to take care of, and I don't want to be absent from my family. So he's on for the week after. I'm responding to him. All right, responding to Ken. All right, hold on. All right, hold on, guys. I'm responding to Ken Anderson. All right. I'll do that in a minute. I got PNP to take care of right now. All right. If I had the books though, I would make Montez Ford one of the top baby faces going into next year. I would make him a mid-card baby face now. I would have him, he's on Raw, so you have, he's on SmackDown now. So I think Montez Ford versus Austin Theory at SummerSlam should be a match. I think that would be a perfect opportunity for Montez Ford to branch out into becoming a single star. I think he should beat Austin Theory at SummerSlam. I think he should be in a triple threat match at Survivor Series for the or a four-way match. I think that he should a four-way Survivors match basically. And so it wouldn't be an elimination. I would do four-way, and I would have him not take the pin, so that would be a way for him to get rid of the title. And then I would have him win the Royal Rumble. And I would have him go against Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship. I would have Montez, Rollins. Rollins is a heel by now. Montez, Rollins, World Heavyweight Championship. There's your baby face. All right. Why do you think Samoa Joe wrestling and WWE did not work out? From what I heard, man, it was it had a lot to do with his appearance. They're all about shape guy. They're all about maintaining shape, good shape. Gunther, they had they sent Big Show to developmental because his shape, he was getting way out of shape. Same thing with Mark Henry. Yokozuna was getting way out of shape. So shape has been a big thing for WWE for a while. Now, big men are, they're big men, but when you get to the point where you're like just really just out of shape and needing some major overhaul when it comes to getting back in ring shape, they usually send people to developmentals or tell them, you got to lose this weight or else. Gunther was able to lose a significant amount of weight and still looks good. Samoa Joe, from what I heard, it was a appearance thing. So, Rito, all right, People's Wrestling Channel, Ricky, hello, my good sir. How are you? I'm doing well. What have you been up to today? Working. Been working all day as a therapist, and had a really good workout today. I did shoulders and back today, like upper back and abs today. So had a really good workout and ate well, lots of protein, and spent some time with my family. Got ready for the show, man. It's been a busy day. It's been a busy, 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 busy day. I'm looking forward to laying down for sure because I am super duper tired. 997. Very nice. Yes, indeed. We the ones. Kudos to him, man. What happens to an interview, Miss Kenny? How many times have you interviewed him? Okay, well, you just see what just happened. So he'll be on a couple weeks. He was super sorrowful for not being a part of the show, which I knew that it was going to. I knew that it wasn't malicious because I've interviewed him. I've interviewed Anderson. He's one of the people I've interviewed the most. I've interviewed Anderson probably, I don't know, probably 7 or 8 times. Yeah. He's up there. He's up there with the most people I've interviewed ever. I think 4 of the top people are Anderson, Marty Elias, Sean Devar was up there too. I've interviewed him a bunch of times too. And JTG. I think those are the 4 most people I've interviewed. And Bischoff. I've interviewed Bischoff about 6 or 7 times too. Eric Bischoff. So I think those are the 5 most people I've interviewed. In no particular order because I don't remember the times. Ken Anderson, Sean Devari, Marty Elias, JTD, Eric Bischoff. Yeah, I think that's it. I think those are the 5 I've interviewed the most. Will it be you and Bill after every week now? Yes, it will. And I'm very happy about that, actually. For many reasons. One, because my schedule just doesn't, it's a headache trying to get, like, if you think about this, Ricky, and I know that you're a fledgling, aspiring podcaster, all right? You've got to really, really focus on allotting a significant amount, an ample amount of time to be able to really produce and present and prepare for your shows. Like, it's just every single week for the past, 2013, probably 7 or so years. Like, every single week I have, it's probably been longer than that, actually. Because this is my 11th year on PNP. I started to do weekly interviews probably within 4 or 5 years of PNP. Like, I would do it like once a month. Like, I would do it like once a quarter or so, and then I went to like once or twice a month. And then eventually I went to every week. So I started doing weekly interviews. Let's see. As a matter of fact, I'm going to find out when I start doing weekly interviews. Let's see. I started to do, so I'm looking 3 years ago, I was doing an interview every week. I mean, I'm going to tell everybody, let's see, On Demand, Mike McGurk, 382, Nick Patrick, PCO, Rocka Khan, Wild Bill Irwin, Conan, Allison Kay, or Sienna, same thing, same person. Michael Elgin. I forgot I interviewed Michael Elgin. Wow. I mean, that's my point. I interviewed someone every single week. Black Bart, this is 3 years ago. I'm reading the list of people I interviewed. I forgot I interviewed Michael Elgin. I'm going to start listening to these retro interviews and maybe downloading some of them on the channel. Ricky Steamboat, PCO, Lance Archer, Kenneth Johnson from 205 Live, Ezekiel Jackson, Daniel Pewter, Sean Stasiak, some media calls, Chris Masters, Ken Anderson from 4 years ago, Adam Rose, Sean Devari, Chad Fortune. Yeah, I mean, like, Superstar Bill Dundee, Hollywood John Tatum, The Patriot, Rod Price, Ken Doan, Robbie E., Johnny Fairplay, Jumping Jim Brazil, Garrett Bischoff, Hernandez, Beer City Bruiser. Like, yeah, I mean, this, like, every single week, Vince Russo, 4 years ago, Eric Bischoff, Chris Sabin, Mike Knox, Daivari, Colonel Robert Parker, Jeff Jarrett, Ethan Page, Brian Cage, Dave Milliken, Ken Resnick, Chris Pavone, Lanny Poffo, Bill Goldberg, Brian Pillman Jr., Booker T., Nick Aldis, Alex the Pug Porto. So every single week I had to try to find somebody to interview. A.R. Fox, Jerry Lynn, Kenny King, Ernest the Cat Miller, Rosa Mendez, Kevin Sullivan, Eddie Kingston, Paul Diamond, Shane Taylor, Colt Toombs, Roddy Piper's son, Hornswoggle. Man, wow. Dave Meltzer, Rod Smart from XFL, he hate me, Sawyer Fulton, Wes Briscoe, Angelina Love, Dave Lagana, Court Bauer, Greg Gagne, Tom Pritchard, Shane Helms, PJ Black, Art Arkow, Jack Doan, Matt Seidel, Jack Swagger, Alex Wright. Wow. DJ Z, Bill Apter from 5 years ago. Very nice. Keith Lee, Cameron, Aaron Andrews, Sanjay Dutt, Adam Page, Justin Sutter, who's now, what, the Butcher, or the Blade, right? Dan Severin, Eugene, Matt Hughes. Okay, I'm still trying to figure out how many years. Still. Pete Gass. I forgot I interviewed Pete Gass. Man, I got to listen to some of these. Chelsea Green. Scott Norton. Gary Michael Capetta. Jay Lethal. Man, wow. I put so much work into this show, y'all. I mean, I'm like, wow, man. I've put so much work into this show, man. Yikes. Every single week I had an interview. I'm still going back 6 years ago. Still. Rob Conway, Ricardo Rodriguez, Al Snow. Selena Vega, 6 years ago. Thea Trinidad. Scott Putski, Abyss. PN News. Rosie, one of the last interviews before he passed away. Wow, man. Ricky Stimo's son, Anthony Bidd, Buff Bagwell. Still, NWO Sting, Kaylee Burchill, Doug Basham, Aria Daivari, Brandi Rose, Ted DiBiase Jr., Jake Roberts, Cedric Alexander, Bushwhacker Luke, Eric Escobar, Brad Maddox, Paul London, Teddy Long, Johnny Gargano. 7 years ago, Johnny Gargano. JTG. Okay, here we go. Rikishi, Dijak, Davey Richards. Okay, so it would be seven years ago, I was still doing twice a month. And then as of 7 years ago, I started to do every week. So for the past 7 years, I've been doing interviews every week. So with that being said, now you understand how difficult it is for the past 7 years to find someone every week. So that is a lot of work, and I don't have the time anymore. Being a therapist, a college chair, department chair, professor, and a podcaster, on top, actually underneath, actually being a husband and a father of three small children. and doing ministry work and doing and DJing. So it's like, I just don't have the time. So it was a gym. I was asked if Bill After can be on the show with me every week. And I said, absolutely. So I don't have to find people every week. So, and still, I'm still, as you see, as you saw with the text exchange, I'm still, you know, in the, I'm still in the routine. I'm so used to finding people every week that I just, you know, I'm still thinking about, okay, this person would be a cool to be on the show this week because I'm, you know, Anderson was buzzed. You know, there's a lot of buzz that was around Anderson recently about his WWE remarks. So, and I texted him. I was like, okay, that'd be cool, you know, for him to be on the show. He said, yeah. And then PNP exclusive, as you, you know, always give PNP the sneak peek within things. So Brian Kendrick is going to be on Unscripted next week. And so, I mean, I messaged, you know, Brian Kendrick because he trained Bad Bunny. I messaged Brian Kendrick. I said, hey, you want to be on the show again? Sure. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm so used to bringing people on. So, but it's going to be Bill After and I every single week. So I don't have to worry about, okay, so I don't want to bring anybody on the show this week. It's just Bill and I. And I love working with Bill After. He's one of my, arguably my favorite person to work with. One of my favorite people to work with, as far as just being on the show. We just gel so well together. I love predictions. Oh, I don't know. Okay. Here we go. Let's do these predictions. Yes. I know that Ricky is a big fan of me doing these predictions. Even NXT, knowing I don't watch NXT, but I will still give my predictions out of, you know, because I know that the PNP Nation, they love me. And so I appreciate that. So therefore, I'm good people. All right. Night of Champions predictions. I'm going to be really quick with these because check out SportsKita. Vince Russo and I have a predictions episode about this. All right, so I think that Becky Lynch is going to win. I think that Rhea Ripley is going to win. I think that Bianca Belair is going to win. I think that Gunther is going to win. I think that Owens and Zayn is going to win. I think that Brock Lesnar is going to win. I think that Rollins is going to win. There you go. Although I wouldn't be opposed to AJ winning, actually. I would want AJ to win, but I think Seth is going to win. What's next? Double or Nothing. Oh, man. I have no clue. Okay. I don't know. Jericho, probably, because he, if I'm not mistaken, he lost to... Jericho lost to Roderick Strong, which was weird. So if Jericho loses to Roderick Strong and Adam Cole, that would be really odd. So I think Jericho's going to win and probably lose down the line. Ethan Page and the Guns against the Hardy Party. Oh, so I don't watch Rampage. I don't watch really full episodes of Dynamite either. I usually either fast forward them or just don't catch all of it. I haven't watched a full episode without fast forwarding most of it or just not watching the full episode in months. I mean, months. So I do remember Jeff coming back, but I don't recall him being on the Dynamite. So has he been on Rampage? Like, did he come back just to be on Rampage, or has he been on Dynamite recently? I don't know. I'm going to say the Hardy Party wins because why bring back Jeff Hardy for that? Jade Cargill and Taya Valkyrie. Taya Valkyrie already lost to Jade Cargill, so I don't know why they're going against each other again. But it seems as if, from what I saw, it seems like the fans are already turning against Taya Valkyrie. Which, I mean, they don't know how to, AEW does a horrible job of knowing how to develop characters. And so it's just weird. AEW is just weird to me in many ways. You're just bringing back names. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. Oh, it's her. Oh, it's him. And then all of a sudden you're expecting the fans to mark out for the person. And then when they don't, they fall flat. It makes the name look embarrassing. I mean, it's unfair for the wrestler who's debuting that you're expecting the fans to have this big pop toward the person. And that's how it was with Taya Valkyrie. People were like, I was like, okay, it's cool. You know, she was a free agent. She left Impact. You know, could she come back to WWE? And she goes to AEW and people were like, oh, hi. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of the same thing happened with Roderick Strong. So, yeah, it's just weird how they debut people in AEW. It just doesn't make sense of why Cargill would lose to Taya Valkyrie. I don't see how that makes sense. Especially if this person this person needs to be a really big, huge, over babyface. I just don't see it. Blackpool Combat Club against the Elite, Anarchy in the Arena. Heels never win those matches. I think the Elite's going to win. Jamie Hayter, Tony Storm. I think Jamie Hayter's going to keep it. Although her run's been really quiet, though, as far as I recall. The Blackjack Battle Royal, I think Orange Cassidy's going. I mean, I think this would be a good opportunity for Powerhouse Hobbs to win, actually. I think Orange Cassidy may keep it, but give it to Powerhouse, man. Build him up for a good program with someone leading into Wembley, perhaps. Go. Wardlow, Christian Cage. I got Wardlow. FTR against Jarrett and Jay Lethal. Man, I forgot FTR was the tag team champions. And do you want to turn Mark Briscoe? Like, how do you cash out on just the sympathy wave that he's having right now? I don't think they've cashed out on that very well. But I can see Briscoe costing FTR. So you have Jarrett and Lethal as the new champions. Don't take it off FTR yet, but I can see them having the heels win, but don't take it off FTR. I think MJF's going to keep the world championship too. I mean, that's just not... this car is just not an enthusiast. It's just not. I'm enthused by it. I'm not enthused by it. And what else you say? Battleground? Sure. Battleground. I didn't even know they were having an event. All right, Gallus against the Creed Brothers for the NXT Tag Team Championship. I say Gallus. I say Ilya Dragunov defeats Dijak. I say Joe Gacy wins the North American Championship. I say Dragon Lee wins the Heritage Cup. I say Tiffany Stratton wins the Women's Championship. I say Carmelo Hayes beats Braun. Carmelo and Braun again for the NXT Championship. You don't take it off of Carmelo this quick, do you? You don't do that quick, do you? Wait a minute. So that's Saturday too. So you're gonna have Saudi in the afternoon, and then a few hours later, Battleground. Do I watch Stone Cold Texas on America? I do not. I do not watch that. Who would you like to see face AJ Styles in his final retirement match? Do you think they would be having Gunther pass Honky Tonk Man Records IC Champion? I do think they will have Gunther pass Honky Tonk Man, and I wouldn't have an issue with that at all. Retirement match? Well, I don't see AJ Styles retiring for a while, so I don't even know who would be. I don't even know who you throw in there at that time. I have no clue. I guess it just depends on where he's at when he retires. Ask me that question again when he is close to retirement. It seems like he has a few years left at least. Ricky, episode 582. Yes, indeed. What's up, Rollin? You and Bill After are a good combo on Tuesdays, just like you and Vince Russo on Mondays. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Did you hear the rumors of SmackDown extended 3 hours? Any thoughts? I did hear that. I heard Nick Khan was mentioning that. I think it's a horrible idea. From a consumer standpoint, I do think it's overkill. But I do think, you know, it's all about the money. It's all about the money. And so... Yeah, I need to have a bunch of sound bites on this here. When I have time, I think I'm going to have a bunch of pro wrestling sound bites here. That was one of them. It's all about the money. It's all about the money. Let's see. Next we have... Dion, do I think WWE should let Lesnar go? I want to see the new blood, but every time they bring him back and bury stars. Yeah. He's an anomaly, man. He's an anomaly. He's an anomaly. He's one of those people who they bring him in, man. He's a ratings draw. He boosts ratings. He comes in and people he brings in the intrigue, man. So if someone retires Brock in that way, and someone who they know is going to get over, like if they know someone who's going to get over, perhaps a babyface Drew against a heel Brock. Drew retires Brock. That would be interesting. I would be in for that. Rito, thoughts on WWE possibly having shows all 7 days? Ugh, no interest. As well as having SmackDown another day possibly in Amazon. Oof, man. Overkill. Revenue. I get it. I can see how that would be, how that would bring the money in, but overkill, man. Quantity doesn't always equal quality. I'll say that. Uh, Would I be rushing Fast X? Maybe. Maybe. Maybe not. What's my rap name? Yeah. I used to have one back in the day, but I've stopped rapping for a while. My DJ name, though, is DJ Prolific, though. I'm still DJ. Christopher. Nobody does it better than Dr. Chris and Vince Russo. And Bill, after you bring my energy back after Boyne Roll. Thanks, man. I appreciate that very, very much, Christopher. Very, very much so, my man. Is Solo going to have problems with Roman after the arm brush and looking at Solo face? I mean, Solo is a baby face. Not interested. Roman is a baby face. Perhaps if it makes sense. Perhaps if it makes sense. Got to make it make sense, though. Two heels? No, not interested. But I think that's just a way to continue. I like that nuance, though. It's just a way to continue, you know, the feud. I watched an old school, The Weakest Link, back. Oh, I love that show. I used to love that show. Kane, Austin, Bubba Ray, that was a great memories. Yeah. All The Weakest Link. Goodbye. The Pancakes of Power Sense, those fire and brimstone. Thank you very much. Jacob did wrestle with God. Is wrestling the oldest sport because of the biblical narrative, or was wrestling practiced by early societies? Yeah, man. If you think of it from a biblical standpoint, yes, wrestling. And even from a Greco-Roman influence when it came to Colosseum wrestling and a gymnasium, they used to wrestle nude. If I'm not mistaken, the word gymnasium comes from gymnos, which means nude or naked. So they used to just battle it out, and people used to just see this bloodthirsty fans used to just see battles in ancient Greece, in Rome. And so that's why we would get, you know, we got the Olympics back in the day too. And so this was BC. And I think when did wrestling, yeah, it had to be, I know that influence was, I mean, way like those BC days. Let's see. Yeah, 708 BC, ancient Olympic Games, 708 BC, yep. Pentathlon, ancient Greek, 500 BC, yeah, man, it's been a while. Wrestling as biblical proportions, the book of Genesis from a timeline perspective is, you know, much earlier than the Greco-Roman influence, but from a national or international perspective, that the Greco-Roman influence is where pro wrestling as we see it from an amateur is doing okay. So yeah, the Greco-Roman influence is what we see in today's wrestling. You know, freestyle wrestling, which, you know, has became mat professional wrestling. How many screens did I say I had? So two in front of me here, and then three on my other computer. Mother. So I have four, and then I have a TV that a big screen TV that I use as a screen too. What's up, Aaron? All right, let's get through these questions. I'm still high PMP on every one of my YouTube videos. I hope I bring in more views. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. continue. Because, yeah, man, we're still, because like I said, I for years I was attached to, you know, Wrestling Inc. and did a lot of work for WrestleZone, Bleacher Report. You know, a lot of my influence was on Bleacher Report for years. And then Wrestling Rumors, still, you know, still like Wrestling Rumors. Still affiliate myself with Wrestling Rumors. But for so long of PNP, man, I was like the bonus of their, you know, their product. And so, you know, I'm like, look, I need to branch off on my own. I need to branch off on my own. So that's what I did. And so PNP is steadily growing, steadily growing. Keep up the publicity to continue to grow PNP. What are some healthy foods I can eat? I'm trying to get in better shape. I always say greens and proteins, greens and proteins. Fruit is good too. Eat a lot of fruit with greens. Salads, pack the protein on it. You know, just healthier choices, like grilled over fried, you know, grilled chicken on your salad, eggs, beans, greens, and there's so much psychology when it comes to healthy eating, man. You get to a point where you're like, okay, I'll choose to this junk and I'll eat a granola bar instead. You know what I mean? Like if I'm hungry, I'm not going to snack on some chips. I'm going to, you know, get an orange, you know what I mean? Or I'm going to get an apple. I'm going to get some peanut butter. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to just make other choices. It's a mental thing. It really is. And after a while, you just get used to eating healthier that you feel it when you don't. Like, there was a couple weeks ago, Nothing Bundt Cakes is amazing. I ate like two separate days. I ate some cake, you know, and I'm all for just eating, you know, doing that stuff in moderation. And that's, I'm all for that. For a couple of days, I ate a buntlet. I had a little buntlet like earlier, like the week before. It was delicious. And then the week after, like a week and a half after that, I bought my wife a bundt cake for Mother's Day. And I smashed on a couple of pieces of cake on a couple of days. And I was like, oh, I feel this. Like, it was good, but I felt it. And then we went to like a soul food restaurant that weekend too. Food was delicious. I had a pork sandwich, which theoretically isn't bad. Like, I mean, the carbs, if you're not burning them, they're bad for you. But if you burn carbs, you know, if you work out, carbs isn't bad for you. It just turns the energy, as opposed to if you don't work out, they're sugar. So they just store the sugar and fat. So that's the reason why people, when they go on diet plans, they say, you know, low carbs or no carbs. But if you work out a lot, that's not really the best option. But I mean, but yeah, I ate some macaroni and cheese, some green beans, some ice cream with some peach cobbler. Like I went, it was a soul food restaurant, so I slammed. It was good, but I felt it like almost immediately. So yeah. Be careful about what you eat when you start to eat clean. But I just weighed myself today, actually, and I'm still, I'm super, you know, I'm muscular, but I'm in the shape, like I'm developing to, I mean, I'm in a better shape than I have been from a muscular standpoint. And my goals now is just to continue to, you know, be bulky and just continue to just have like a shredded leanness to me. So yeah, now I mean, you know, as you can see, like I'm here we go. So that's where I'm at now. So that's where I'm at now. And yeah, you know, good shape, but I wanna just, you know, a summer shred. That's my goal. Well, you know, fitness goals. Everybody should have fitness goals, man. So that's just continue to kill it in the gym and continue to be a fitness guy. Sad to announce one of my friends passed away on Saturday at the age of 31. Sorry to hear that, man. He had a son and a mutual friend. They haven't been together. Their heart is hurting for their son, who I think is 8 years old. I appreciate Justin all. Sorry to hear that, man. You know, be there for them mentally, spiritually. Pray for them. Check on them. You know, let them know that you're there. What are your thoughts about WWE trying to get sympathy for Cody? He has zero sympathy for me. His promos bore me. He just feels like another guy. Yeah, he's just losing interest fast. I've told you before, man, my interest toward Cody is just, it's just not there. I mean, unfortunately. And so, they're losing it for me. Tully and Tessa for father daughter. I suppose. Tessa, I think, I mean, she killed it in Impact, but from a large scale, that's about it. Great memories, cool. I know you can dethrone the Tribal Chief. Yeah, me. That's who can do it. We haven't heard any impressions for a while. Can you do your best Reigns impression? Man, I don't know about Reigns. Acknowledge me. That's all you get from me, man. I don't study Roman Reigns enough to do that. All right, y'all. I've got like 90 seconds left on the podcast. So for those who watching PNP on the podcast, thank you so much for being a part. The broadcast live, I'm still going to answer the rest of your questions. But for those who are listening to the podcast, again, come to the Power Slams YouTube channel. Thank you so much for being a part of episode 532. And this is Dr. Chris Featherstone signing off. Have a good night. God bless. I'll do it for you. Goodbye. Solo.